Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for i5 for the iPhone is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Sarah Lane, and welcome to the newest episode of i5 for the iPhone. This show is for us, the iPhone fans, and every week we cover five topics from the must-have apps to the news you need to know about, so let's start the show. Number one, and this is a really big number one because we get a brand new iPhone. Yep, we got the announcement last week, and now we know everything about the iPhone 5. It'll be available this Friday, September 21st, in the U.S., Canada, the U.K., Germany, France, Australia, Japan, Singapore, and Hong Kong, and then more countries on the 28th, a week later. Even though we don't actually have an iPhone 5 on i5 until next week, I am not that powerful, even though I seem that way. Let's go over some of the big stuff and talk about our feelings. First, a bigger screen. 4 inches on the diagonal. I'm okay with this. I don't have a problem with the smaller phone, but I think I'm okay with 4 inches. Takes the video up to 16:9, and since Apple was able to shrink the bezel, the physical phone itself isn't that much bigger, even though the screen is quite a bit. My guess is that we're all going to think it looks really weird and long for like a week, and then we'll just forget about it. Also, from everybody who's actually held the iPhone 5, because some people were able to at the announcement last week, it feels significantly lighter and thinner. I will be interested to see if this makes the phone feel any cheaper or flimsier. The 4S is kind of heavy, but it's always felt really solid to me, and I don't want to lose that. Finally, what about all the apps that need to be updated for that bigger screen? I hope this transition feels seamless and quick, not slow and fragmented. Oh, and in case you're wondering, I ordered mine in white, 64 gigs. Yay! Number two, we're getting iOS 6 on Wednesday, September 19th. Whee! Now one of the things you'll no longer be able to find as a native app is YouTube. Apple's stripping it out. But that shouldn't really matter now that YouTube has an official app in the App Store. And it's very nice. You've got a left-hand navigation area, and easy access to your settings, your channels, what's popular on YouTube, various video categories depending on your mood, etc. Everything's there, except why can I still not upload videos from the iPhone app? The original native app didn't have that functionality either. I know I can share a video from my phone to YouTube from a video itself. I just think it's weird not to have the same option in the official YouTube app. Lance also emails us with an observation. No more removing a video as a favorite from the new app. You can add favorites, you just can't remove them. Now, the original app did allow this, so what changed? Just an oversight or something more sinister from Google? Number three, quick, what's your heart rate? So is that what you do to find out? That's stupid. Good news, there's an app for you. It's called Cardio, and for $5, it'll calculate your heart rate in just a few seconds by reading the heat off of your face. Yes, you just launch the app, you hold the iPhone up to your face, and Cardio does its thing using your front-facing camera. Talk about easy. Cardio stores that information so that later when I check my heart rate after a bike ride or a long run, I have something to compare it to. I can also build up a database of my heart rate over time. If I've got a goal that I'm working toward, that can be helpful. And I can keep an eye on my life expectancy. 83 years? That's depressing. I guess I should start working out more. Don't buy this app if you don't care about measuring your heart rate regularly. $5 is too much for a novelty, but if you do, you can't do much better than an app on the phone you already have rather than some sort of strap or external gadget. And from my tests so far, I'd say it's very accurate. That's Cardio with two eyes, by the way. Number four. A few days ago, TWiT producer Chad Johnson told me about an app he'd been hearing about called Circle of Six. It's made specifically for college-age folks who might find themselves in potentially unsafe situations, but anybody can use it. So what I first do is choose six friends, not only that I trust, but that live in close enough proximity to me to get to me quickly in an event that I need them. Once I've chosen these people, I have the option of texting them a heads up about Circle of Six so that they're aware of what it is beforehand. Then I have a few options. If I'm stuck somewhere and I feel unsafe, I can text my location in two clicks to all six people. If I feel uncomfortable at a party, on a date, or some other social situation, I can ask to be interrupted so I can get out of there. Or I can give my friends an alert that I might not be in a healthy relationship, which kind of promotes the practice of being honest about stuff like that and awareness of what options are out there. An emergency icon will take me right to hotlines for assault or abuse. I know this sounds kind of heavy, a little bit scary even, but I just think if it helps people be safer as a rule, it's worth looking into. My only real question, what if you're the kind of person who really only has five friends that you trust to help you? It seems like functionality saying up to six friends makes more sense for those who like the idea of Circle of Six, but might really only want to involve a couple other people. Overall, feeling a little safer for free is always a good thing. Tell somebody you know who might need it. Let's finish on a brighter note for all of you in positive relationships. Pair, the social network for two, has just gotten a nice update, but I realize some of you might not even be using it at all. So let me tell you how it works. You and your partner sign up to use Pair together. Now, your partner could be your spouse, your significant other, your best friend, whatever. It's just a two-way relationship designed for two people. No groups, no lists, no followers, just you and your partner. Then you can send messages to each other. They're like text, but Pair uses data rather than SMS. Or photos, or videos, your location, which is a nice map. You can draw things for each other. You can both hold up your thumbs to your screen and perform what's called a thumb kiss. It sounds lame, but it's actually pretty cute. You could just tell your partner you're thinking of them, and so on. Audio notes are new in version 1.4, as well as an overall design refresh. Now, I've been using Pair for a solid 6 months or so, and I really like it. You know what it does? It keeps me from communicating too much on public networks with my partner that just aren't right for personal conversations. We all know people who do too much of that. It's also a good mixture of helpful app and silly tools. In fact, I've had people in long-distance relationships that are using Pair tell me that the silly stuff really helps. My only wish is for a desktop version, because then it could truly replace something like Facebook Messenger as the one service I use with my partner to communicate on all computers. Pair is free, because love don't cost a thing. And that just about does it for this episode of i5 for the iPhone. For links to everything that we talk about in every episode, or to subscribe to the show in HD, or to catch up on shows you might have missed, just visit us at twit.tv/i5. If you have a tip or a question or an idea, email us at i5@twit.tv, leave us a voicemail at 614-ON-I5, or send us a video with an app review of your own. I'm Sarah Lane, and I'll see you next week right here on i5.